Baseball season is back, and Florida State starts hot with a season-opening sweep of the James Madison Dukes this past weekend. What's up, Noel Nation? I'm Jesse from Plant the Spirit. Thank you so much for tuning in. And we're going to talk some baseball today. We also got a little bit of softball updates to provide as well. Not a whole lot going on with football, and I know that football typically steals the spotlight, but I don't think this baseball program and this softball team get talked about enough. They are a really fun group to watch, and Florida State and the softball team are both rolling right now. So there's no better time to talk about them. And here at Plant the Spear, we feel like we want to expand our coverage. We did a lot of baseball coverage last year, but we want to keep that growing and providing the baseball content that, again, I just don't feel like they get talked about enough. So if you enjoy baseball content, drop a comment if you're watching on YouTube and let us know. Like and subscribe so you can stay tuned as we continue to roll out baseball content. Let us know if this is something you're interested in as well. I mean, I love watching this team play. They were so much fun last year. They were so much fun back in the Mike Martin days. You know, really, I know some of you probably know this, or have heard me say this before. Really, a lot of my Florida State fan roots are traced back to FSU baseball. My brother used to go to Mike Martin baseball camps as a kid, and that was my chance when I was too young to go over and see Doak Campbell Stadium and become a fan of the football program too. So if it wasn't for FSU baseball, I don't even know that I would be an FSU football fan. So we got to give them the attention that they deserve. And they came out hot this weekend, like we talked about. You know, fans packed in to Dick Houser Stadium, over 7,000 fans, two sold out games on Friday and Saturday night. Of course, there was some weather to deal with on Sunday, but it was a electric scene in Houser, and Florida State delivered. These fans that showed up, they got the show that they paid for. You know, Florida State came into this season as a consensus top 10 team, and they looked the part on this weekend series against James Madison. Now, of course, let's admit it's early in the season. There's a long way to go. They have much tougher competition coming up when they get to ACC play. But James Madison is not a bad program. They did lose a lot of production from last year, but they have some decent arms in that rotation. They won 36 games, advanced to the Raleigh Regional last year, where they were eliminated by the eventual champion NC State. They stole a game against Arkansas, the number three ranked team last year, as well as a ranked Coastal Carolina team. So not a bad ball club to open up with a series win here. And you did it in dominating fashion. I mean, if you look back to this weekend, 9 out of the top 25 teams ranked in the D1 top 25 poll took a loss, at least one this weekend. So for Florida State to make it out unscathed in dominating fashion was a good look for this team. Now, before we jump into the quick recap, let me bring you a word from today's sponsor, and that is Alumni Hall FSU. If you want to get official baseball gear, like the team issue hat you see sitting behind me, if you're watching on YouTube here, make sure you head over to see our friends there at 1415 Timberlane Road in Tallahassee, as well as online at alumnihall.com. Navigate over to the FSU page and save 10% with code SPEAR online or in store. So go get the gear and go save some money. Now let's talk about this opening series win here for Florida State. Game one, the Noles take it 6-0. And this was really all about showcasing what makes Florida State a real contender this year, and that is dominant pitching. There's a lot of questions about who's going to follow up with Jamie Arnold, but one of those questions was never about how good Jamie Arnold's going to be. There is no question he is one of the best pitchers in the country, comes in preseason pitcher of the year, All-American, you name it, he's got it. And he lived up to that hype on Friday night. This is a guy that, you know, side note with Jamie Arnold, one of my favorite things about watching him play is just how fierce of a competitor he is. You know, he can be ahead in the count. He can have two outs, you know, two strikes, and it'd be the sixth inning with a 10-run lead. And, you know, if he throws a strike and the ump maybe makes a bad call or something like that, you can see it in his face. You can see the frustration that he wants to be perfect. You can see when he has a big moment that he feels the energy. And so this is the perfect type of guy that you want on the mound under the lights on a Friday night to anchor that weekend rotation. And he comes out and has a great weekend to start things off here for the season for Jamie Arnold. Six innings pitched, only one hit allowed, zero runs, zero earned runs, 8 Ks, and no walks. I mean, an absolute lights out six inning performance here by Jamie Arnold. And the thing is, you know, he basically rendered that offense ineffective, and he set the bar high. And so then you kind of were like, okay, well, now who's going to come in relief? Because the bullpen was very up and down last year for Florida State, but they did improve the depth. And then John Abraham comes in off the top rope and really closes things out for Florida State with a 3-inning performance, allowing just one hit, no runs, and putting up 8 strikeouts of his own with only 1 walk allowed. So these two returning pitchers for Florida State proved to be a potent 1-2 punch. So that's going to be something to watch going forward. Offense did start a little bit sloppy in this game with some lack of discipline at the plate. They chased a lot of bad pitches, got called for a couple of half swings there. Only 4 hits on the day, 10 strikeouts, but I think a lot of that had to do with first game jitters because you saw them get better throughout the course of the weekend at the plate. Of course, Drew Ferreau was a guy that Florida State was looking to lead this team this year, comes back and ignites the offense in the 3rd inning with a 3-run blast, put the Noles up, and then they pulled away with adding 3 more runs in the 7th there. But again, you didn't need much offense when you shut them out with good defense and dominant pitching. So then we go to game 2. Florida State on Saturday at 2 p.m. rolls out first-time starter, South Florida transfer, Joey Vellini, left-hander, coming in, had Tommy John surgery in 2023, worked his way back into the rotation at South Florida last year, pitched, I think it was around 84 pitches, 4 2/3 innings, only allowed 2 hits, 1 run, 0 earned, and recorded 7 strikeouts to 1 walk. Now, the 1 run that did happen was on a fielding error that would have ended the inning. It was kind of an easy field to ground ball that got kicked, would have ended the inning, gave him the full five innings there. But that's just the way sometimes baseball shakes out. But I think the big thing here with Vellini was, man, he impressed in his debut. And you saw him have the longevity of a guy that was coming off that surgery. I don't think he'd pitched that much in 1 game there. I think he'd had a high of 4 innings 3 times there at South Florida. So he looks like he's consistent and ready to be in this rotation. Just a solid force there. FSU brought in 3 relievers to close that game out who added 6 strikeouts, only allowing 5 hits and 1 earned run. So a good performance there from the bullpen getting out of that one. The Noles had a much better day at the plate, and they demonstrated that although they lost a lot of power from last year's lineup with guys like Cam Smith, James Tibbs, Marco Dinges, and Jaime Ferrer moving on to the MLB, you know, these guys came out and they showed that they still have some power too. They hit 4 home runs on the day, started out with Gage Harrelson with a leadoff solo home run to right center. That was an absolute missile to the outfield there. No doubter. As soon as it left the bat, we knew that one was gone. Max Williams contributed a 2-run shot in the 3rd, and Ferreau got his 2nd home run of the weekend in the 4th inning. And then Alex Lodis was a guy who struggled in game 1, 0-for-5 with 4 strikeouts, had a nice rebound game in game 2, came back and added a 2-run home run in the 6th. Florida State puts up 9 total runs with a run on the board in 5 separate innings. So the offense was starting to find their rhythm. Now they still had double-digit strikeouts at 10, but the number of hits also increased to 10. So a better day at the plate, and again, another good pitching performance. Now, game 3, Florida State really hammered James Madison in this one. 10-0 in 8 innings, ended up being called on a run rule on Sunday to give them the series sweep. Of course, they did mention on the broadcast that James Madison had to catch a commercial flight home, so they had a hard stop time anyway. So once things got out of hand with only 1 inning left, the coaches just agreed to call the game here. But this was another story of dominant pitching. You know, we talked about Jamie Arnold was a guy you were excited about, but who were going to be your other weekend starters? We saw Vellini have a good debut, and then in comes Ole Miss transfer Wes Mendez, left-handed pitcher, he was very impressive too. He kept the bar raised high for this Florida State rotation, comes in and has a 5-inning performance, allowing 2 hits, no runs, punched out 8 batters, and walked just 1. So 8 strikeouts for him as well. He's got some nice stuff, man. He's got a nasty breaking ball in his arsenal there. So this is a guy that is really excited about. And that was a career high day for him as far as innings and strikeouts. So seeing him step into that starter role and being able to put up 5 innings and have 8 strikeouts, that was something Link Jarrett praised him for in his post-game press conference, saying this might have been the best and most consistent he's looked since arriving at Florida State. Hudson Rowan did come in relief there for Mendez, and then he left after only 12 pitches with a right oblique injury that he was pointing at. So hopefully he's okay. Hopefully that's not something that lingers. I know they could, you know, probably afford to give him some rest here coming up. But then sophomore left-hander Brady Lout closed the game out for Florida State with 2 1/3 inning, allowing 1 hit, no runs, and punching out 3 batters with no walks. So good performance there from him as well. Sunday was the best day at the plate for the Florida State offense. They got 10 runs on 18 hits, and they cut their strikeouts in half to only 5. This is what I was talking about with the improvement over the course of the weekend. This was by far their best game. They also stole 8 bases in this game compared to 1 in the prior 2. 9 different batters recorded a hit in this one, including the great Gary Sheffield's son had a hit as well. I know he was in the crowd on Friday, probably there all weekend, so that was probably a cool moment for him. So let's do some takeaways real quick here on after this, seeing Florida State play this opening series weekend, because, you know, we had a lot of excitement for this team, a lot of hype. They had looked good in the fall ball, and we just kind of wondered how it's going to look. And again, I know it's early, but this was our first time seeing them in action. So it's a good outing for Florida State. I mean, again, we know that James Madison is not going to be some of the teams that Florida State faces down the road, but it's a solid ball club to be able to get a early season momentum winning series sweep here. We saw some of the flashes of what we think are the strengths of this team that can propel them out to Omaha. They also made some quick early adjustments on the mistakes like we talked about before. So some of my top takeaways here is pitching prowess and solid defense. You know, Florida State's strength coming into the season was its pitching staff led by left-handed ace Jamie Arnold, a new crop of transfers that we were waiting to see in action, and improved bullpen depth. If this was a sample of things to come, the Noles could be in for a special season. Now, again, we got to see them do this consistently and against better competition. I understand that. But, man, I think Jamie Arnold met the expectations, right? Because, obviously, he's already viewed as a first-round MLB draft pick. But I think what you saw from Vellini and Mendez probably exceeded expectations of where you had hoped them to be this early in the season. 3 starters combined for 15.2 innings of work, allowed just 5 hits, no earned runs, and an impressive 23 strikeouts to only 2 walks. I mean, they absolutely were mowing guys down. Now, FSU pitchers on the weekend combined for an impressive 40 strikeouts, and I think that's pretty close to being in the running for the most strikeouts on opening weekend by any team in the country. The stats are a little bit slower to update in baseball, but I believe they're got to be up there with that. So big weekend from the pitching staff, allowing just 10 hits and 2 runs in total. You know, and even then, when JMU very suddenly put the ball in play, FSU's defense looked pretty good. They had a couple errors, but only 2 in the first 3 games compared to James Madison that had 10. You know, and again, as far as the pitching staff goes, we have still not seen talented arms like Evan Kress, Connor Holtz, Joe Charles. So you still have a lot of depth of arms in the arsenal that have not even been seen yet. And that's considering that we don't even have Cam Leiter available right now due to injury. So if he comes back throughout the course of the season, this could be one of the best staffs in the country. And we just got to see it consistently against a better competition, like I mentioned. One of the other big takeaways for me was the production that they were able to put up at the plate and the speed on offense. You know, one of the big questions that we talked about before entering the season was how Florida State was going to replace a lot of the lost production from last year, and really a historic year offensively for the Seminoles. And despite that sluggish start on Friday, Florida State demonstrated that they still have some horsepower in this lineup. I mean, you had, you know, especially when the bats heat up, you had 4 home runs on Saturday, which was nice. But looking at the series as a whole, Florida State finishes batting .302 over the course of the weekend, 32 hits, 25 runs, 21 RBIs, and 5 home runs. So, you know, like I said, considering that they had the slow start on Friday, they really kind of turned it on in the last 2 games. Now, Link Jarrett did say in his postgame presser that he was not pleased with how the offense performed in its first 2 games, but he did like what he saw on Sunday with a more consistent presence at the plate and on the base path. But Link did admit that it is nice to be able to attack teams in multiple ways offensively. You know, sometimes you are going to have to win the game with the long ball. Sometimes it's going to be that small ball approach where you're just trying to get the ball in play and get guys on the base path to put pressure on defenses. But, you know, again, this is something that they're going to work on improving. They're going to work on consistency throughout the lineup. I mean, you think about one of the leaders that they're counting on, Max Williams, had a big home run, but then also went 2-of-14, batting just .143 on the weekend. So you want to see some consistency develop through the lineup there. And then, like I touched on, the speed that they have added to this lineup is going to be dangerous, and it's going to put a lot of pressure on opposing defenses. Florida State was a perfect 9 for 9 on stolen base attempts with players. You know, you had Chase Williams, you had Gage Harrelson that showed that speed on the base path. They can be a threat to score from anywhere at any time. If you, you know, misread a ball or make an error, they're going to steal an extra bag on you. So that's going to be something that's going to be exciting to watch throughout the course of the season. Again, 8 stolen bags on Sunday alone. Gage Harrelson led the team with 3 of 3 attempts. Now, the veteran leaders is something that also stood out to me when watching this. You know, Florida State has a lot of talented young players that they're working into the lineup that they're still getting their footing, you know, getting used to that college baseball game speed. And a perfect example of that was Miles Bailey. You know, he comes in and starts 0-for-4 with 3 strikeouts in the first 2 games, but then he kind of caught on fire a little bit there with a 3-hit performance on Sunday, really showed the potential of what you think these young guys can be. But you need the steady veteran presence too. And the guys that they're relying on that our baseball analyst Jeff talked about in the preseason, 2 of those names are Drew Ferreau and Alex Lodis, coming in as returning players from last year, are guys that Florida State is going to rely heavily on. And really, Drew Ferreau took the baton and ran with it to start with, kicking things off for the offense here with probably the offensive story of the weekend for Florida State, batting 500, 6 hits, 2 home runs, and a team-leading 6 RBIs on the weekend. And then, of course, like we mentioned with Lodis, the thing was he got off to a disappointing start in game 1, 0-for-5 with 4 strikeouts. You were kind of like, here comes the inconsistency. You know, hopefully he'll bounce back, and he did. In games 2 of 3, he ended up going a combined 6-for-9 with a home run and driving in 4 RBIs. So FSU is going to need these veterans to anchor this lineup while these young guys get in sync. But another veteran guy that I saw that really stood out to me, who is a really nice player and a great addition through the portal, that is Texas Tech transfer Gage Harrelson. Man, he stood out all weekend. He had an impressive opening series from FSU's leadoff spot, batting .417 with 5 hits, 5 RBIs, scoring 5 runs, and like I said, leading the team, going a perfect 3 of 3 on stolen bases. Also had a great play in the outfield as well, highlight catch there. Man, I mean, this guy's got speed, he's got pop, you know, and so he's going to be a fun player to watch throughout the rest of the season. Now, wrapping up with some final thoughts here on baseball. Look, Florida State came out and flexed its strengths this weekend. The things that we wanted to see, we saw them have dominant pitching led by Jamie Arnold, of course. They had good defense, only committing 2 errors, and offense that put the ball in play. We saw some home runs this weekend as well. They became more aggressive on the base pass as the weekend progressed. Of course, there's some things they got to clean up. Left 27 runners stranded and struck out 20 times in the first 2 games. So those are things that you'll want to get cleaned up. But again, like we said, on Sunday, they had their best offensive performance. Now, we know Florida State is going to face tougher teams when they get to the conference, so they'll have to produce against them too. But again, I think this was a solid way to start the season. JMU is probably a better team, better program than you're going to face over the next few weeks, with the exception of a couple midweeks in there against some decent programs. It's still very early, but like I said, Florida State looks crisp on opening weekend, especially when you consider all the teams that did stumble on opening weekend and take a loss. Now, Florida State does not face a team ranked in the top 100 of the RPI rankings currently until they get to Florida, the rivalry game at home on March 11th. So they're going to have plenty of time to make adjustments and find their rhythm and figure out their bullpen depth and all this type of stuff before they get into the heart of that schedule. But next up for Florida State is a trip to Tampa for a midweek contest on Tuesday against a South Florida squad that is not bad at all. This is a very winnable game for Florida State. They're 2-1 on the season. But, you know, then Florida State, after that Tuesday midweek, comes back home to Hauser for a series against Penn, a team that I think is ranked in the 200s in RPI. So that should be another opportunity for some early season momentum. Keep in mind, Florida State started 19-0 last year. So I don't know that they get to that now, because, again, baseball is a funky sport, and sometimes you can just drop a game in a weekend series or a midweek when you're testing some things out. But, you know, a real chance for Florida State to get some early momentum coming off of this series sweep of James Madison. Now, before we jump out of here, I want to talk about one last thing, and that's giving credit to Lonnie Almeida and the softball program. I mean, this is they're doing things. They are on the belt-to-butt redemption tour right now. But, man, these ladies are crushing it. Right now, they just came back from their tournament in Puerto Rico where they only lost 1 game. They headed to the Clearwater Invitational and had a dominant performance. Finished the tournament undefeated with a 4-0 record. to improve to 8-1 on the season. Started out with a run rule victory against a ranked Missouri team. That was their second run rule victory in two games. The last one coming against a top five Oklahoma State team, which is the only team to beat them in the first game of the season. And they kind of redeemed themselves there. Then they run ruled Ohio State in game two, got down early to Wichita State in game three, but had 14 unanswered runs. You know, State stood the test, withstood the pressure, and got a run rule victory there, 15-5. And then, of course, closed out the tournament with an 8-1 win over Central Florida. So the ladies are starting out hot. Got the Joanne Graff Classic coming to the Plex this week. Will be their next time. First home game for them as well. First time playing in Tallahassee. So I know people are going to be excited to get out and watch them. You got FAMU in that, Southeast Louisiana, and then I believe a top five Texas A&M team will be competing in that as well. So the Florida State's going to get a test this weekend against another top five team. But, you know, looking at the offensive firepower here, you got 7 of 9 batters who have double-digit trips to the plate that are batting over 300 so far, 2 over .500. Kennedy Harp is hitting a ridiculous .704 with 4 home runs and 18 RBIs and only 27 attempts or 27 at-bats, excuse me, using football talk here. But, I mean, they are just absolutely tearing the cover off the ball. So that's nice to see as well with the offensive firepower. They also, of course, they play good defense. That's a Lonnie Alameda team there. And they got some good pitchers in the circle. They're going to need to make a little bit of improvements if they want to, you know, go as far as this pitching will take them. That's what we've said about this team for the last few years. But so far, Annabelle Wiedra and Jazzy Francik have led from the circle with a 0.42 ERA and 0.5 ERA, respectively. They have combined for a 5-0 record, carrying the majority of the workload so far. But man, they've just, the rest of the pitchers haven't been bad, but these two have been lights out. So Florida State softball off to a hot 8-1 start, ranked top 10 in the country as well, getting back underway this week with the Joanne Graff Classic. So make sure you go out and support them as well. And last but not least, got to give a shout out to the FSU women's basketball program here, ranked in the top 25 and gets a rivalry dub over Miami down there. I believe it was in South Florida. 83-82. So, man, that was fun to watch as well. Kind of a last-second steal there and got the shot off and won that game. So, man, really exciting stuff from the round ball sports. Of course, men's basketball didn't fare so well against Clemson, but, you know, we're just hoping that they go out on a high note for Leonard Hamilton as we continue this search. Apparently, Luke Laux was at one of the games, was at that Clemson game watching Florida State basketball with Michael Alford. I don't know what that means, but I'm pretty sure it's got to mean something, right? I don't think he travels to Tallahassee if there's no interest there. So that could be something to watch. But guys, that's going to do it for today. Just wanted to bring you some round ball updates. Like I said, if you enjoy baseball content, make sure you head over to plantthespear.com. We have published about 6 or 8 articles on baseball and softball in the past week that you guys can check out if you are a Seminole baseball fan. Like I said, we're going to expand the channel. I don't know how we're even going to do for views or not, but you know, it doesn't matter because we're here to talk about all things FSU, not just FSU football, even though that's, of course, what has our hearts. But thank you guys for joining. We'll be back on Friday with another episode. We'll find some football stuff to talk about as well there. Make sure you like and subscribe on YouTube like we talked about. If you're watching this and you enjoyed this episode, we are pushing to 2,000 subscribers. We are less than 100 away, so we appreciate you guys' support there. If you're listening on podcast form, rate and review, tell a friend, tell a neighbor, help us get out and grow the channel. We appreciate that from you guys. Make sure you check out Alumni Hall and save 10% with code SPEAR. With that being said, guys, thanks for watching. We'll catch you on the next one. And as always, go Noles.